Have you ever had a job where you had no experience, no training, you were not allowed to quit, and people's lives were at stake? In a large extent, that's parenting. Or how about this? These are quotes. I didn't make this up. If parenthood came with a GPS, it would mostly just say, recalculating. Man, the first child is the one we do all the experiments on, and we do some figuring out, and we apologize later for all the mistakes we made with the first child, and hopefully we do better with the second, third, fourth, however many you have. One piece of advice, don't write your parenting book after the first child. Wait till there's more. Because what you think you have figured out after the first child, that second one's probably going to blow up. But parenting is scary. Parenting is hard. And thankfully, those who follow Jesus have sufficient instructions to do a great job in God's Word. This is God's Word. He's given us everything necessary for life and godliness. He has told us what He requires of us in every area, including how to raise disciples. Not just externally good little kids. Going for the heart. So before you check out and say, I've already raised my kids, and well, there's grace for you. But this is for you too. Before you say, I don't have kids, it's okay if you never do. You can learn from this, but you may and you will, some of you. So listen in. I am a kid. It's for you too. You know at least what your parents' job description are and what's required of you, and someday you will grow up and raise kids. So this sermon, there's something in this sermon for everyone. But today, our quick focus is on one verse, and really most of my focus is on two words in that one verse. Ephesians? That's a new book, by the way, in the Bible. Ephesians 6, verse 4. We live close to the sea. I guess that's where that came from. I don't know. But from Ephesians 6, 4, focusing on discipleship and instruction, sort of Paul's summary of the whole process, we'll see that we are to parent like God and for God and raise our children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. We are to parent like God and for God and raise our children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And first, if you look at Ephesians 6, 4, it starts with, and a lot of things are good to approach this way, how not to do it before you say how to do it, right? Here's mistakes not to make. Here's how it should really be done. This is what I call the negative side of parenting, what not to do in 6, 4a. Now look at this. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. First word, fathers. So it's just the fathers, right? Moms, you're off the hook. No. The fathers are addressed because they are responsible to see that this doesn't take place and this does take place in the home. That their children are not provoked, but raised up in what the old nurture and admonition of the Lord, discipline and instruction of the Lord. The husband, if you go back and look in chapter 5:23, we preached on that. A husband is the head of the house under Christ. Wife, children, there's an authority chain in the Christian family. But it does not mean the wife is not involved. In fact, this is a team effort. You're to be united front, raising your children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. But fathers, you are responsible unto God to be involved in the process, to give oversight to the process, to be sure that it is happening. Your responsibility is not just to go off and earn the bacon and come home and be disengaged, but to be giving watch care to this, to be involved in this, to be intimately involved with your children in the process of raising them. This area, like many others, you should ride over wherever you sit and look. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me, Jesus said. But it says, fathers, Probably because we're best at this. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. Do not exasperate them, to press them to a high degree, to make them so intensely angry over something they have no control over. Don't make your children little angry children. One thing that will really do that for you is legalism, by the way. Some of the meanest kids I ever knew growing up were preacher's kids. And it was because the preacher was legalistic and domineering and things that we'll point out. Not all preachers are that way, praise God. And hopefully that's not true here. But here's some of the ways we can provoke our children: by being domineering, thoughtless fathers. Just barking orders and criticism. Just domineering. There's a king in your house, and you know who that is? It's Jesus, not you. You are to be a servant leader in your home, to lead like Jesus, to not make up the rules, but to, and of course there are some circumstantial rules you have to make up, but basically to be sure that you are ministering His authority to your children, that you are ministering His word to your children and His commandments. So domineering, thoughtless fathers, just overlords, barking orders. Just a quick pause. Marines, don't bring the Marine Corps home with you. You are Christians who are fathers who are in the Marine Corps. And I know that's hard to do, but I've had to counsel some men who were drill sergeants, and then they just drill sergeants in the home or whatever. That's not how Christ would have you be head of your home, by being domineering and barking orders. Here's a way we frustrate our children: no clear boundaries or rules. They don't even know what to expect, and then suddenly you're coming down on them. How frustrating is that for you at work? If you've not been given, at least you didn't understand the responsibility, and suddenly you're being mashed for not doing it. So being domineering and thoughtless, having no clear boundaries. How about this one? Inconsistency. One thing one day and another thing the next. Kids don't know what to do with that. They're just walking around on eggshells because they don't know what to expect. No grace. Here's another one. No grace in praise. There's no grace in praise. It's just all criticism. It's just all telling them how they're doing bad, but no, wow, that was really good. I am really proud of you. You know, I really love you. You are my daughter. You are my son. And, you know, we all struggle. Daddy struggle. You know what I mean? Enter in. But if there's no grace in praise in a marriage, recipe for disaster. No grace in praise in raising your kids. How about setting a bad example? Hypocrisy. I literally, and I believe my dad's in heaven now, but he would look at me and say, do not do what I do, do what I say. You know what I did? What he did. You're going to see you in your children. What is you? Bad English, but good preaching. What are you? What are you in front of your kids? Is Sunday significantly different than the rest of the week? Now, I'm not saying you have to be perfect. That helps you preach grace to them and not legalism. But setting a bad example, hypocrisy. How about no united front between the husband and wife? We don't have a plan. We're just doing our own thing. And dad says this and mom says this. And, you know, let me tell you something. Kids are masters at plugging into that situation. And they will use you against one another to get what they want if you're not careful. Kids are new parents, new babies. You don't see it, but they're born with a crown on their head. They want to rule. And they have many ways of doing that. And you have to be careful. You have to take that crown off of them. Be a united front. I said no gentleness, no tenderness. Dads, and I'm especially focusing on the fathers with this. You need to be gentle, tender, compassionate with your children. That is manly. You see that in Jesus, right? No greater man than Him. I'm a man. I don't cry. Shut up. Your kids need to see you cry. Jesus wept. Be gentle, be tender. Now, and of course you have to be firm and disciplined, but there needs to be some gentleness and some tenderness mixed in. Or just right, not involved at all. Dad's just not involved. He's not there. Even when he's there, he's not there. That will produce anger, resentment, hurt, and a lot of bad fruit in the lives of your children. Now listen, I know we have Marines in here and we have others who have to leave sometime. I'm not talking about that. But when you're here, even when you're away, we have such good communication these days. You can FaceTime with your family and your kids. But when you're there, be involved with your children. When you come home, it's not time to check out from work. Remember, you're a dad or your mom. Sometimes that's flipped these days. Moms work, dads stay at home. You have a responsibility to be involved. I've counseled people before who, especially men, who work all day and it's hard work, and they come home and they expect to just take off the shoes, kick up in the lounge chair, and have everybody cater to them. You're a dad first. And by the way, how tired do you think mom is by that time? She's been with your crazy kids all day. I love you, kids. But we are crazy. All of us. It's hard. So don't let children come between you. Don't disengage. Focus on Jesus and then family, raising your family, and then occupation, and outside of that, church probably, the occupation. It says, don't provoke your children to anger. Now listen, this is don't provoke your children to anger by being sinful. Okay? If sin is what's provoking your children to anger, you need to repent of that. But children are good in controlling us with anger. So if you're following Jesus and implementing biblical discipline in the home and they get mad, tough. Right? Because kids will control you with anger as well if you let them. So it's what he's talking about here is don't provoke them with sin. Don't let your kids being angry be the worst disaster. Don't be doing parenting in a way that is not biblical that provokes them. So that's quickly on the negative side. I'm going to move on. The positive side. Look at the rest of verse 4. Don't do it this way, but do it this way. But this is a strong contrast in the Greek. Don't do it this way, but this way. What am I supposed to do? And this is, again, a nutshell summary. The Bible expands this, and you can find lots of instruction. We're going to focus mostly on two of these words today. But bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. This is an application of the gospel, of God's grace. He's there with you and for you, empowering you, not just to do anything, but to know and apply His Word to your own lives and to the lives of your children. And he says this, bring them up. That word is a word for nourish and providing for. A nourishing word. Nourish them. Be sure and to the best of your ability in a godly way. Provide for their physical, emotional, and spiritual well-being. Nourish your children. And the model is set. We have been loved and provided for. We have been nourished in Christ, who came to die for our sins, to provide a perfect righteousness, to be buried, to raise from the grave. Christ died for our sins. He has prepared. He loves us. He's with us, and we'll talk more about that later. But Dad, Mom, are you trying? You have no shot at this if you're not a Christian. Are you trusting in Jesus this morning? Is Jesus your hope? Is Jesus your life? Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried. He was raised the third day. And life is a free, eternal life. Eternal life. Hope in the face of death is a free gift through trusting in Jesus. And even that is a gift. Are you trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ? Then God has nourished you with His grace, right? And that's what we sort of respond to and imitate by nourishing and providing for our children. So he says, raise them up or nourish them. How am I to nourish them? Right here. In the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Nourish them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Wake up and focus if you're not still with me. Discipline. This is a general. If you do some work in a concordance or something, you'll see that these two words, nurture and admonition, or discipline and instruction, they're sort of overlapping words. They have a lot of the same meaning. They're not detached, and they don't have two different meanings, but they have sort of two different emphases, if you will. This is a general idea of training. So when it says discipline, raising up in the discipline of the Lord, that's from the Lord, what He's put in His Word, you know, an imitation of the Lord we'll talk about. But this has the idea of training. So you're teaching them, you're modeling for them, you're helping them. The word means both providing instruction into proper behavior and correcting bad behavior. So we're not just letting them run off and do whatever they want to. We provide instruction into proper behavior and we correct bad behavior. One of the commentaries called it instructive discipline. Close involvement in their learning and growth. Child's training. Disciplining your children to be those who walk in God's grace and live for His glory in Christ. And listen, I'll let you off the hook a little bit. You won't do this perfectly. Because you're not perfect in it yourself. That's why you have to rely outside yourself on God's Word. Think about teaching a child to play baseball. I know, I'm a man. Okay, ladies, a girl to play girl softball. But I relate to teaching my son baseball. When you're teaching a kid baseball, you have to show him how to do, you have to do it yourself. You have to show him how to stand, how to hold the bat, how to step into, squash the bug. Hit the ball, right? Or how to throw. You don't just throw like this. You have to put everything into it to throw. You have to show them that. And then they still don't know. So when they're holding the bat, I remember my son, I come around behind him and put his hands on the bat and show him, train him, show him how to do it, right? Or to throw. I would stance him and even take hold of his arm and help him turn into, I mean, karate, there's jujitsu. A lot of y'all are into that. You know? Senseis do give orders, but they show you how to do it and correct how, when you're doing it wrong. This is being, and notice how intimately involved you have to be. So this is not just standing back. Do this, don't do that. I got to go play golf. Nothing wrong with golf if you're keeping your responsibilities. But when you do this with a child, this kind of discipline is intimate engagement. Or moms teaching daughters or sons to cook, or dads if you're the cook. I mean, you don't just throw them in the kitchen with pots and pans. I mean, Cindy had to teach me that a recipe was more than just general, you know, advice, because I would tweak it and mess things up. This is close involvement, teaching the good, correcting the bad. We're much better, most of us, at teaching the good than we are correcting the bad. Because especially if we were raised by domineering parents, we're going to do anything but that. So we're just going to get way over here away from that. And we're going to model it, we're going to teach it, and then they're just going to have to figure it out. You'll raise a little monster if you do it that way. Most of the time. God is gracious. Don't presume on it. We teach the good, we correct the bad, but we do it with this. This is what you are to be teaching, with Christ in the center and grace in the center. We're teaching them and raising up to be disciples of Jesus. We're correcting them and applying the word to them of what is an error. We're not overcorrecting, but we're not under either. It's a difficult balance, I know. But it's both teaching and correction. Like God does with us. Think about it. I've already mentioned Jesus came into the world to save us. He got intimately involved in our situation. He provided our righteousness. He took our sin upon Himself, paid the penalty, raised, reigning for us, coming again for us. He's intimately involved, but more than just externally. Jesus, through His Spirit, is at work in us, teaching us the truth. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. He's teaching us the truth. He's convicting us when we go astray. God disciplines us, both in positive teaching. Now, discipline's a big word. It includes a positive teaching and what we call negative. It's not really negative. Instruction and correction is discipline. So this is an intimate process that Jesus is the model. God is the model for our Father through His Son, by His Spirit, all things we need for flourishing in Christ, life and godliness. In the Old Testament, you see examples in Deuteronomy. Just one verse. I'll give you an Old Testament and New Testament and I'll move on. But in Deuteronomy 6, 5 to 7, it says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might." And these words, see, not as much word as we have now, but specifically related to the commandments He had given and the instruction around those commandments, but God's word. He said, "These words that I command you today," look at the parent, "shall be on your heart." See, the word has to be on our heart first if we're going to teach it. So this word shall be on your heart, and then you shall teach them diligently to your children. When? Talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. In other words, that's through all of life as your opportunity. You're by God's grace imprinting the Word of God, not just on your children, hopefully, but in their hearts as disciples of Christ. But it has to be in you first. Now listen, don't wait till, okay, when I know the Word perfectly, then I'll teach it. No, just teach what you know, and your church will help you. Family worship is one really good way. Around a meal or something, and if you start this in your home, don't make it 30 minutes when you start it. Kids have very short attention spans. Read something, talk about it, eat. Don't let food get cold. Or do it after supper. But just talk about the Word with your children. Share with them your successes and your failures. Confess to them when you sin against them and you need forgiveness. Model Jesus for them. Word in you, teaching it to your children. Here you go. God's discipline of us. Hebrews 12, 5 to 11. Those Christians were struggling. They were thinking about going back to Moses. They were thinking about abandoning the faith. They were experiencing the discipline of the Lord. They didn't know what to do with it. So He reminds them. He says in verse 5, "Have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? And our word for discipline in Ephesians 6, 4, idea, shows up 5 times in these verses. And I'll try to highlight those. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline," that's a word, "of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by Him." Notice correction. "For the Lord disciplines the one He loves and chastises every son He receives. It is for discipline," there it is again, "that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. He's a good father. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline in which you have all participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons." If you're not being fathered by God, if you're not being disciplined by God, by His Spirit sanctifying you by the truth, convicting you when you sin, you're not His child. That's not me. Don't get mad at me. It's what it says right here. If you're left without discipline in which all Christians have participated, then you're illegitimate children, not sons. And if you won't discipline your children, you're treating them as not your children. "Besides this, we have all had earthly fathers who disciplined us and we respected them." Now, not in the moment when we were kids and they were disciplining us, but later we were glad they did so, even if they didn't do it exactly right. Right? "Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them. But He, God, disciplines us for our good that we may share in His holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant." It's okay if it's painful. Not abusive. Not injurious. But painful. God takes us through pain to grow us sometimes. "All discipline seems painful at the moment rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who've been trained by it." So discipline, a process where fathers especially, mothers too, this is team effort, but fathers have to be engaged and giving watch care and involved to the extent that they can in God's sovereignty and the occupations that they have with right priorities. And then it says this, I know I'm doing this quickly. You can go back, there's sermons on this in that series if you want a more expansive sermon. If you want more conviction. No. He says, raise your children in the discipline and instruction. Look at this. Instruction. This is more specific to speech. So there's overlap. This is the whole process. Teaching and correcting, being with, engaged, modeling, showing. And then this word is more of a speech word. And that's why ESV translates it instruction. It's to place in the mind. To instruction with a view to transformation. The goal of our instruction is to see our children walking in God's grace in Christ and living for His glory in Christ. So we teach them that the Bible is ultimately about Jesus, gospel, grace. We teach them in various ways, family worship and day by day through cutting the grass and all the things we do with our kids. We're teaching them. Think of a sculptor. And you're not the sculptor. You're the chisel. God's the sculptor. And you're a faithful chisel in His hand that He's using to chisel away from that block of rock that your children are born as into disciples of Christ, chiseling away everything that doesn't look like Christ. That's what we hope for and work for. It's up to God to work through His Word in the lives of our kids. But He's the sculptor using you as His instrument to deliver His Word to your children, to instruct them in living for Christ and to correct them when they're getting it wrong. And this word also carries a slight negative nuance. It carries the nuance of warning. So you're teaching God's Word and you're warning going against it. You're warning going away from it. They may not believe you, but you're telling them the consequences of sin. And then you are being faithful to discipline sin in your household. Sin is what needs to be removed from our lives and what creates all of the problems in our lives. Sometimes we think sin will make us happy. We get tired of our husband or wife and we see a more shiny product over here and we think, this is going to make me happy. Well, if they'll do it with you, they'll do it to you. And bigger and better than that, it doesn't glorify God. It's not according to His commands. And there's consequences. Either in this life or the life to come. But that's anything. Any way we sort of justify. Don't help your children justify sin. Help them see sin as an enemy. Teach them the Word. Implant it on their minds. Warn them of disobedience. Discipline when necessary. Look, 1 Corinthians 4:14, Paul uses this same word. In the note of correction. He says, I'm not writing these things to shame you, but to correct you. That's our same word. To correct you as my dear children. Check that out. To correct you as dear children. Our dear children. One of our responsibilities as parents is correcting them according to the Word. Being consistent in it. It is difficult. Don't be short-sighted. Listen, I've heard people say things like, I tried spanking, it didn't work. Okay, what'd you think? A few swats, life totally transformed. No, consistency and discipline or whatever it is, taking away the favorite toy, whatever discipline, know your children. What hurts them the most? I would much rather have had my mom spank me than take away my car. Of course, that tells you how old I was when I was thinking that. Which is a little bit weird, but I told you we were all weird kids. Why did I say that? I don't know. Correction. I got to wake you up every once in a while, right? Look at this. I'll leave it with this one as far as correcting goes. Proverbs 23:13-14. Do not withhold discipline from a child. If you strike him with a rod, he will not die. He will sound like he's dying. Or she will sound like she's dying. Because they don't want you to do that. But they won't die. Now again, not injury. Right? Not abuse. Loving correction. There needs to be pain in it, but not destruction, not injury. One of the worst things my parents used to make me do was, and if you're raised in the country, you can probably relate to this, go get me a switch. That is the most horrible journey you will ever take in your life. Because you know if you go get a little stick like this, they going back and get a big one. That, oh gosh, which one do I, oh no, not that one. Yeah, I mean, and then you bring it back. By the time you bring it back, sometimes they've cooled a bit and it's not what it would have been. But that's pretty good exercise. Go get me a switch. Kids are saying, what are you doing? If you strike him, no, look, verse 14. If you strike him with the rod, you will save his soul from Sheol, not grave, hell. Training a children to respect authority, to fear sin, to attach pain and disappointment and hardship and hurt with sin. Don't be grandparents, be parents. Grandparents get to let it slide sometimes, don't they? We have fun with them, and when they're bad, we give them back to you. But then you're supposed to take care of business, right? Grandparents love me for that. Parents, not so much. Parents, you. And it says, look how it ends, of the Lord. Bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Bring them up in accord with the Word. You are a Christian. You are a Christ follower. He said, His Word is truth. You have everything necessary for life and godliness. If it doesn't agree with this, don't do it. Now, common grace, people make observations and find things in life that agree. But in the, look at it, it says, raise them in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Raise them biblically. Don't be practical atheists when it comes to parenting. Don't raise your children as though there was no Word and what Dr. Spock or whoever says is right. You'd probably do better to listen to Mr. Spock than Dr. Spock. Star Trek reference, if you don't get it, sorry. Jesus is the incarnate Word. He is our teacher and master who is, notice, with us and for us and helps us to raise our kids in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I'm done. Let me conclude with a few points. No parent has ever done this perfectly. And the cross is where you go with your failure. No parent has ever raised kids perfectly. Aren't you glad Jesus died for sinners? Some parents have done a horrible job and kids turn out on fire for Jesus Christ followers. Now, that doesn't mean that's how you to do it, but that means God is gracious. But no parent has ever been perfect. All of our experience, to some degree, is failure that needs grace, and thank God it's amazing grace and sufficient grace. Some parents have been great, and the kids turn out to be little devils following, as far as you know at this point, following Satan and not Christ. Adam and Eve had perfect parents. They rebelled. I mean, if you've strived to do things according to God's Word, keep going. Keep praying. Keep encouraging. Keep sowing seeds. Keep witnessing. Because it's not too late until they take their last breath. But you don't own the guilt for all their sin. Parents, none of us have been perfect. Some of us have been better than others. But you don't own the guilt for your children's sin. Although they will try to lay that on you. And kids, you can never blame your sin on your parents. That takes a lot of worldly counsel and just dumps it in the trash, I know. Kids, you have to own your own choices because that's what you'll answer for when you stand before God someday. And you will stand before God someday. And you believe it. You know it. We play like we don't believe in God because we don't like His Word, and we don't want to live our lives according to His Word. But there's no real atheist. Everybody knows there's a God they're responsible to. They just don't like Him. I mean, think about it. There is no God, and I hate Him. How silly is that? Anyway, the Bible says, you know He's true. You have all the proof you need in creation, and He's given you more in the resurrection of Christ. You are without excuse before Him. You will answer to Him, and you can't blame it on your parents. All Christian parents are to prioritize God's way and God's word. And just like the rest of your Christian life, walk in the knowledge. If you're trusting in Jesus, if you're not trusting in Jesus, you're on your own. If you're trusting in Jesus, God is with you. He is for you as you seek to raise your kids with the goal of them walking in His grace and seeking to live for His glory. Are you walking in His grace and seeking to live for His glory? Do you know Him as your Savior? Not just from trouble, but from condemnation, from sin, from wrath. Paul said, flee from the wrath to come. It's appointed to men to die once, and then comes the judgment. Are you ready to stand before God and answer for everything you've ever thought, everything you've ever said, and everything you've ever done before God? You can be if you're trusting in Jesus. You can know that He fulfilled the law in thought, word, and deed for you, providing a perfect righteousness. He died to pay the penalty for your sins. He rose, proving it's all true. He's coming again someday. And when He comes, we'll be like Him. That is the truth of the gospel. You can't say, I didn't know. Parents, are you trusting in Jesus? Kids, are you trusting in Jesus? Today can be the day. Christ died for our sins. He was buried. He was raised the third day. And salvation is a free gift through faith in Him. One of the quotes I started with said that our parenting GPS would be constantly saying, recalculating. Own that is true. Embrace that. And be continually recalculating everything to be in accord with God's Word. Just like evangelism, you will glorify God in doing it His way. The hard thing is you have to leave the results up to Him. He's the one that has to change the heart. So teach the Word, model the Christian life, help your children know and grow in God's Word, and you must be willing to correct sin and punish sin. Raise up your children in both the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Train up your children to walk in God's grace in Jesus and to live for His glory in Jesus. Let's pray. Father, whenever we preach a sermon like this, whenever we hear a sermon like this, there is a certain, especially for those of us who have already been parents, there's a certain amount of guilt that attends a sermon like this. I pray that You would minister Your comfort, Your grace to each soul. They would find mercy. That mercy we sang about. Stronger than darkness. New every morn. Our sins, they are many. But Your mercy is more. And even now, today, we can turn and be better witnesses for You, better livers for You, better trusters in You, maybe coming to faith for the first time. So work faith in the heart of the parents that don't know You, maybe even in this room. Lord, and work comfort and grace in the hearts of the parents who struggle over ways that they have, at least in their own eyes, failed. Help them to remember that their children's sin is never their fault. Lord, have mercy on us and help us to place all of our sins at the cross to find hope in Your grace for all of our falling short. So I pray for comfort for those parents in the room who know You and yet struggle with some of the decisions they've made. I pray for challenge for those parents who are beginning the process and maybe think they know exactly how to do it, have everything figured out. Lord, just make us all humble. Make us all dependent upon Your grace. Save parents. Save those who've already parenting, who are parenting. Lord, help us all to trust in You, to rest in You, and to live for You in accord with Your Word in Christ Jesus. Lord, I pray for our children who are in the room. Help them to be serious about knowing You. Help kids to know that they will have to stand before You someday, maybe soon, I don't know, without mommy and daddy, and we'll have to answer. Cause our children at a young age to turn and trust in you. Bless our parents. We tend to have a lot of young parents in this church to trust you and to parent according to your word. Lord, we celebrate some of the kids you've given us this morning and just continue to pray for your grace. But help us all in this room by a work of your mercy and grace to be resting and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for salvation and walking, seeking to walk in His strength, lives that glorify you. Lord, bless us and do your work, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.